Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the websites dictionary.com and onthisday.com. Question number one, which of the following is not the basis of the word April, our current month? Is it A, April is named for the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite? Is it B, it's from the Anglo-Saxon word Ostermanath, meaning Easter month? Is it C, the name April originally came from the word Aprilis, which means to open? Or is it D, April is based on the Latin word for fool? And this is why the month, therefore, opens on April the 1st with April Fool's Day. So where from are not thou, April? And question number two. It was on this day back in 1962 that the Russian newspaper Pravda named its and warned its readers about what? A, listening to rock and roll music. B, eating pizza. C, the dangers of twisting. Or D, all of the above. So what was Pravda in its infinite wisdom warning its readers about today, back in 62? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of April the 5th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1983, that the U.S. Interior Secretary in President Ronald Reagan's cabinet, James Watt, banned the Beach Boys from the 4th of July celebration on the Washington Mall. He said that rock and roll bands attract the quote-unquote wrong element. That was 1983 today. And it was 39 years ago today, 1985, that an estimated 5,000 radio stations around the world simultaneously played the song We Are the World. That was 1985 today.
You didn't even notice. It ain't raining anymore. It's hard to breathe when all you know is the struggle of staying above the rising water line. Well, the sky is finally open. The rain and wind stop blowing, but you're stuck out in the
Casey Musgrave's Rainbow introduces our country music news. It's titled How Casey Musgrave's Late Mentor John Prine Inspired Her Witchy New Song, Cardinal. Jeff Nelson wrote this article, People Magazine. The country star's new song, Cardinal, inspired by her late friend Prine, who died in 2020, appears on Musgrave's new album, Deeper Well, out now. This is published People Magazine 315-24 by Jeff Nelson. Kacey Musgraves dropped her latest album on Friday, and it includes a sweet nod to her late friend, John Prine. In the zine, available for purchase with her new record, Deeper Well, out now, Musgraves 35 reveals that album opener, Cardinal, was inspired by the country icon who died in April 2020 of complications from COVID-19, writing, "When cardinals appear, angels are near. Unexplainable things started happening and cardinals started showing up on my doorstep soon after my good friend and mentor passed, John Prine." Musgraves writes in the zine, "He always had a big connection to cardinals and felt that they were messengers from the spirit realm. He inspired this song, no doubt. I saw a sign or an omen on the branches in the morning. It was night after I lost a friend. Without warning, words unsaid, scarlet red, cardinal. Are you bringing me a message from the other side? Cardinal, are you telling me I'm on somebody's mind? Don't leave me behind," Musgraves sings on the track. The lyrics complement the track's otherworldly production, as well as the overall aesthetic of the album.
Yeah, there's always been a rainbow hanging over your head.
Musgraves was a longtime fan of Prine before they became friends and collaborators once she found Nashville fame. She joined Prine in 2015 aboard his Kayamo, a journey through song cruise, on which they sang his hits, Illegal Smile, and Paradise. In 2017, they returned to sing his classic, Angel from Montgomery, at the Red Rocks Amphitheater. John Prine single-handedly impacted my songwriting more than anyone else. He's the king of turning phrase and keeping it simple, Musgraves told People in an exclusive statement following his death 4 years ago. They say you shouldn't meet your heroes, but you'll never meet someone as truly genuine as he was. At the time, Musgraves added, "There are two times I've ever seen my dad cry, my meemaw's funeral, and the time I got to play with John Prine." Article skips down, ends with this. "I'm 35 now, and I know myself better than in previous years, previous albums, and I just feel like I'm right where I need to be," she said. Ultimately, the song sums up where I'm at in my mid-30s, and really evaluating what love means to me, what friendships mean to me, what are the things that I need, what is really important to me, what's serving me, what's not serving me, and taking stock of that and making room for the things that actually do really matter. This life is so short, I think that you have to be a little bit ruthless in removing obstacles for growth. Ravel's Bolero introduces our classical music news. It's titled, "World's Only One-Handed Concert Pianist Reveals Fascinating History of Left-Hand Piano." This is published on the 21st of March, 2024. ClassicFM.com, Maddie Shaw Roberts. Meet Nicholas McCarthy, born without his right hand. Nicholas is a left-hand alone pianist who is inspiring the next generation of musicians with limb differences. Nicholas McCarthy is a British classical pianist with, in his words, a little bit of a difference. Born without his right hand, McCarthy specializes in left-hand alone pianism and is the only one-handed professional concert pianist in the world today. A few years after he started playing, McCarthy was told that he would never succeed as a concert pianist. Defying expectations, he made headlines in 2012 as the only one-handed pianist to graduate from the Royal College of Music in its 130-year history. In 2018, he was given honorary membership of the RCM by King Charles III. For Nicholas, the history of left-hand repertoire is very special, because without it, I wouldn't have the career that I'm able to have today. It started really in the 19th century, he says. Back then, concert pianists, they were like rock stars. They used to sell out concert halls throughout Europe really quickly. McCarthy refers to the likes of Franz Liszt, whose pianistic devilry would send audiences into a sort of mass hysteria, like you might see at a Harry Styles concert today. These two-handed concert pianists would try to impress their audiences by doing something with their weaker hand, the pianist adds. Almost like, you thought I was good with two hands? Wait till you see what I can do with my left hand alone. And this kind of used to drive the crowd wild for an encore. In the 20th century, the First World War saw thousands of servicemen come home from battle, often with injured or missing right limbs. There was one particular man named Paul Wittgenstein, who is my piano hero, really, Nicholas continues. He came back from battle after losing his right arm, and then he used his steely determination to commission the leading celebrity composers of the 20th century, blazing a trail for one-handed pianists of the future. Wittgenstein commissioned left-hand piano repertoire from all of the 20th century greats, from Ravel and Britten to Prokofiev and Strauss. Left-hand alone piano repertoire would then rapidly develop, largely thanks to Wittgenstein's commissions. The biggest misconception that I hear about left-hand alone piano is that there's only a few works for left hand, McCarthy adds, citing Ravel's left-hand piano concerto, a concert I play lots. Nicholas says there are 3,000 works for left-hand alone solo. That's a lifetime worth of work right there. The article skips down, ends with this. I hope to inspire future generations with a disability. Being a left-hand alone pianist and obviously having only one hand, the rewards I feel the most are the surprise of the audience and people coming to my concerts who have really never been to a classical concert, let alone to a piano recital, let alone to a left-hand piano recital, Nicholas tells Classic FM. I think because of that interest and that human interest around my story and how I play, that has kind of drawn in audiences, really. But now for Nicholas, nearly 10 years after releasing his debut album, Solo, 2015, it's all about looking to the future. I'm very passionate about trying to inspire the next generation of disabled musicians, he says. I hope that my career kind of provides some form of inspiration to future generations who have a disability or a limb difference, and they see me and think, well, he's done it, and this is what I want to have a go at. Sting's Roxanne introduces our rock and pop music news. The Police drummer recalls thinking Roxanne was a throwaway song when Sting first wrote the hit. The Police's Stuart Copeland opened up about the origin of this track. This is published in People.com on the 5th of January, 2024, by Alana Kaplan. Roxanne might be a classic now, but one member of the Police didn't always think it would be a hit. Stuart Copeland revealed he initially thought the 1978 track was a throwaway song. "We were struggling and starving and going nowhere for about a year and a half, and Sting wrote it without any agenda," the band's drummer 71 recalled. "It was certainly not a Police song because we were still theoretically a punk band." At that time, Copeland wanted the band to stick to its punk rock ethos. However, Sting, 72, and guitarist Annie Summers envisioned exploring sounds without limitations. "I was the one cracking the punk whip," he said during the conversation. "No, we've got to be punk." And they're saying, "Can't we just play?" Sting, according to Copeland, secretly shared his idea for Roxanne with Summers. And after he was excited about it, the song landed in the drummer's hands. "I gave it a drum beat that was kind of bass backwards, and we made it into a Police song," Copeland explained. "It wasn't punk-o-rama, but it was still a rock song, even though it was kind of a lament. But the drummer still wasn't sold on the tune. It was a throwaway song," he said. That's what he believed until his brother Miles Copeland, who was at the time the band's manager, convinced him that Roxanne had potential. "He hears it. Folks are going to love this," Stuart said. "He took it and he said, 'I'll take that to a record company.' And they said, 'Okay, we'll release that as a single.' And the rest is history." The song eventually became the Every Breath You Take band's breakthrough hit. In an interview with People in May 2023, the musician opened up about the inspiration behind Roxanne, prostitutes, and the 1897 Edmund Rostand play, Cyrano de Bergerac. "Put on the red lights, Roxanne." We were staying behind the railway station in Paris in an alleyway, and the reason the hotel was so cheap is that we had to share it with ladies of the night, he recalled. "I'd had a pretty sheltered life up until that point, and I was kind of fascinated by the commerce. It was intriguing to me. During that time, Sting was mesmerized by a poster on the wall advertising Cyrano, the main character of which is deeply in love with a woman named Roxanne. Those two conflicting ideas of this beautiful name and this very, very elegant courtly romance and what was going on in that hotel just lit a torch under me," he said. "I went to my room, picked up the guitar, and imagined this woman into life. Roxanne."
"I was on the mend when I fell through. The sky around was anything but blue. I found desire, regained my feet, a wound across my memory that no amount of stitches would repair. But I awoke and you standing there."
The Avett Brothers, February 7th, introduces our local music news. It's titled "Avett Brothers Celebrated the Big Year with 20th New Year's Eve Show in Raleigh, North Carolina." This is published in the News and Observer by Corey Dean on December 16th, 2023. The Grammy-nominated band played PNC Arena on December 31, bringing the group's annual New Year's Eve show back to Raleigh for the first time since 2017 and celebrating a significant milestone. "This is the 20th New Year's show for us, for the band," Seth Avett told the News and Observer in a phone interview. The group, primarily made up of Seth Avett his brother Scott, bassist Bob Crawford, and cellist Joe Kwan, has come a long way since its inception in Concord in the early 2000s. Though they still tour for much of the year, they've progressed from, in Seth Avitt's words, an era of taking any show, any offer, any crummy motel room, any whatever, for being featured on major tours with Willie Nelson and fellow North Carolinian Luke Combs. The band was honored with a Lifetime Achievement Award from the Americana Music Association in September, and even 20-plus years after it all began, their music continues to reach new audiences, notably through Swept Away, a musical based on the band's 2004 album, Mignonette. The musical premiered at the Berkeley Repertories Theater last year and began a second run this fall at Arena Stage in Washington, D.C. The show, which has received praise and generally favorable reviews, was recently extended. So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, which of the following is not the basis of the word April, our current month? Is it A, April is named for the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite? B, it's from the Anglo-Saxon word Ostermanath, meaning Easter month? Is it C, the name April originally came from the word Aprilis, which means to open? Or is it D, April is based on the Latin word for fool? And this is why the month, therefore, opens on April the 1st with April Fool's Day. Correct answer? Answer D is the only answer that is not the basis for the word April. As noted in AmericanTrainingInc.com, April was the second month in an early Roman calendar, but became the fourth month when the ancient Romans started using January as the first month. April is named for the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite. The name for the month of April originally came from Aprilis, which means to open, which could be a reference to the opening or blossoming of flowers and trees, a common occurrence throughout the month of April in the northern hemisphere. Small animals that hibernate are usually coming out of their burrows in April. The birds fly back northward and settle down to have their families. The bees and butterflies begin to gather nectar from the first flowers of the season. In some parts of the world, it's planting time, while in other parts, it's the harvest season. Finally, April is humor month, so laugh it up. As Dictionary.com adds, Mark Twain once wrote, "This is the day upon which we are reminded of what we are on the other 364. Twain's referring to the first day of April, or, as is often known, April Fool's Day. In an article in Dictionary.com, March 31, 2023, titled, "How did April 1 become April Fool's Day?" adds, "The true origins of April Fool's Day remain unknown and are probably lost to history, which means trying to solve the mystery is likely itself a fool's errand. Nevertheless, theories abound, of course. One story goes that April Fool's Day began with France's 1564 Edict of Roussillon, which decreed that New Year's Day, historically observed on Easter by Christians, was moved to January 1 as France switched to the Gregorian calendar from the Julian calendar. Easter is a movable lunar-based date, but often falls in April. So it's said that early adopters dubbed people celebrating the old New Year April Fools. Another theory suggests that April 1st came the Fool's Holiday in the late Middle Ages due to Chaucer's 14th century collection, The Canterbury Tales, wherein Chaucer includes a playful reference to 32 March, or April 1st, in the Nun's Priest tale. However, most scholars consider it to have been a mere copying error. And by the way, is it April Fool's Day, apostrophe S, or April Fool's Day, S apostrophe? Where does the apostrophe go? Originally, there was none. The term April Fool, for a victim of an April Fool's Day prank, dates back to the 1600s, whereas the apostrophized April Fool's Day dates to the 1800s. This is also around when April Fool became to refer to the trick itself. Today, the holiday is stylized both as April Fool's Day with apostrophe S, emphasizing an April Fool as a singular concept, and April Fool's Day with S apostrophe, indicating plural April Fools, whether the people or the pranks. And the answer to our second question, it was on this day back in 1962 that the Russian newspaper Pravda warned its readers about what? Was it A, listening to rock and roll music, B, eating pizza, or C, the dangers of twisting, or D, all of the above? Well, now, given Pravda's history, the correct answer could have been D, all the above, but the actual correct answer is answer C. Pravda warned its youth about the dangers of dancing the twist. So let's close out today's program with Chubby Checker's The Twist. Careful now. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program's also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words: kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time. She knows how to twist.